I'd like to welcome you to our service. If you'd like to find your place in Matthew chapter 6. And the title of the message is, Do You Have the Answer? And some have estimated that there's over 170 times that Jesus asked questions. Some have even counted up to 300. I must admit I haven't spent the time there to write down every question that Jesus asked, but I know there was many. And just in our passage, there's eight questions alone that Jesus is going to ask here just in the few verses that we're going to read. And why did Jesus ask questions? And obviously we know that He's the Creator, He's God, He knows everything, and He already knows the answer before He even asks it. So why ask a question? You know, the woman at the well, she asked Jesus three questions. And one of those questions were, Art thou greater than our father Jacob? And oh my, he was much greater than Jacob. He was much greater than Jacob's well. And what he had to offer that lady was much greater than what she could pull out of Jacob's well. And I'm so glad for all the nice things that we have, the modern conveniences that we have. I don't take those for granted. I sure do appreciate them, but our Lord and Savior wants to give us much more than that. And the Christian life is so much more than just food and water and raiment and you know, cars and houses and things like that. And if we're careful, we could literally lose the life that God's given us. And I'm not talking about eternal life, but we could lose the life, the abundant life that God's given us if we're focusing on the wrong thing. And here Jesus is trying to teach the disciples a great lesson. But have you ever had questions? Have you ever asked yourself some questions, maybe? And I remember the first time that I tried snails. I tell you, after I took the two bites on that one snail, that first snail, I had to ask myself the question, what were you thinking? You know, why in the world did you put that in your mouth? And I tell you, there's been many times where I've had questions, and I'm sure you have as well. And here in Myrtle Beach, there's plenty of seafood restaurants and fresh seafood restaurants, and thank God for all that. But the prices have surely went up. And when you go and to eat an all-you-can-eat crab legs and you come out saying, why did I eat so many? You know, you come out rubbing your belly, and man, your belly's full. And you just come out saying, why did I eat so many crab legs? Well, the answer is that $50-plus a person bill. That's why you did that. But I've also asked my children questions like, did you do that? Why would I ask them that? Most of the time, I knew the answer. I already knew that they did something they weren't supposed to do, and I asked them the question, did you do that? And that question was designed not only to reveal the truth, but to bring conviction, which would also lead to confession. And the child said, yeah, I did that, I'm sorry. So why does Jesus ask questions? Well, He's teaching the disciples here, and so why would He ask these questions to the disciples? Well, it's in order to bring them unto Him, because He has the answer. All the answers to the questions of life are found in the Word of God. You can find every answer you need in God's Word. And here in our passage, we find several questions that are related to worry. Have you ever been there? These questions that Jesus is going to deal with here, that He's going to ask these disciples, really there's three subjects here, or more than three subjects, but there's a main subject that we'll get to the heart of that subject. But all these questions are leading to why worry, why doubt, why be afraid. And I tell you, we've all been there, we've all worried about things, there's no doubt about it, we've worried. At one point of our life, we've all experienced some form of doubt. Maybe not doubting our salvation, but maybe some choices that we made in this life. And you get to a point where you say, man, was that a good idea there? Was that a good choice? Kind of like putting that snail in my mouth. Or maybe some circumstances of life that's happened to us would lead us to doubt some things. And
And we can say that all of us at some point in our life, we were afraid. These are things that happen, were common to all people, and Jesus is addressing all these things, and He's going to ask these certain questions as He's teaching, but these questions were not designed to be answered out loud. These questions were designed to bring understanding, to bring them to a point to understand what He was teaching. And let's start reading verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. And right here's the first question that we come to in our passage. It says, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And here's the second question. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And here's the heart of the matter. All these questions, all these teachings is leading up to the heart of the teaching here, to the main point, if you would. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In these verses here that we just read, there's eight question marks, but yet there's no answer from the disciples. Jesus asked a question, but it was to cause them to think, to understand the heart of the matter, the heart of what He was trying to get through to the disciples. And these questions were not meant to be answered, but they were meant for consideration. In verse 28, Jesus asked, it says, and why take ye thought for raiment? You see, Jesus is trying to help them understand that, look, why are you worried about these things? Or why would you worry or have doubt about these things and be afraid of certain situations? Because He's trying to point them to the fact that God will take care of you. He said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. He wanted them to bring that question was to bring them to a point to consider how God takes care of even the lilies and how surely He'll take care of us. All these questions will lead the disciples to consider what is truly important in the Christian life. I tell you, we live in a day of uncertainty. Just last week we went to Walmart and we went to a specific Walmart because my wife had already looked online and the things that we needed for VBS wasn't at that one Walmart. So she looked at another Walmart and said they still had a few of these things that was needed for decorating here in VBS, for crafts and things like that for our children as they come in. But even then, when we went to that Walmart, even though it said there was a few things in stock there that we needed, we didn't have much hope of finding what we were looking for. Many items that we needed, there was a place on the shelf. There was a price tag right there for what we were looking for, but the problem is there was no merchandise on the shelf. I tell you, we live in uncertain days. We live in uncertain days of health. I tell you, this COVID's still around, and other things are still around, and you just don't know. Well, we live in the days of uncertainty because of the inflation, because of gas prices and food prices, and I was listening to a doctor that said that his patients, they're having to make choices. Hey, am I going to drive an hour to see this specialist that I need to see? Or am I going to can I afford it? I mean, they're worried and canceling appointments for their health because of what's going on. We live in uncertain days. And I'm telling you, that's enough to cause us to worry. It'd even be enough to cause some to doubt and even for some to be afraid. But Jesus is teaching His disciples here on how to react and how to live in such times of uncertainty. All the questions that Jesus asked in this passage, they were not designed to be answered, but they were given to bring into consideration in order to draw them to the heart of what's really important. Because in the midst of all the uncertainty that we live in, there's still one thing that's of the utmost importance for the Christian. The heart of the matter is this. What's really important for the Christian? Whether things are going good or whether things are going bad, there's something that needs to remain the same when it comes to living the Christian life. And that's where Jesus is bringing the disciples is what's more important than food and raiment. What's more important than lower gas prices? What's more important than having everything on the shelves that we think that we need? He said, what's more important than that? And then He's going to bring them to the point to say, is that as important to you as it is to me? Because if it's important to God, it should be important to us. And we better be careful not to allow the worries of the day, the doubts of the day, and even the fears of the day keep us from being in line with God and making sure that what He thinks is important to us. In verse 25 it says this, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Jesus has been teaching since chapter 5. And He comes to verse 25 and He starts off here saying, Therefore, I say unto you. Jesus is about to teach on the subject of what's really important in the Christian life. But He's been laying the foundation for what He's about to say in the previous verses. Let's drop back down to verse 19. It says this, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Here's a good question for us. Is our eye single? Jesus says if you want to be filled with light, if you want to be full of light, then we're going to have an eye that's single. An eye that's focused on the right things. An eye that must be focused on our Lord and Savior. We're going to have to be single-minded when it comes to the Christian life. He's saying you can't lay up treasures on earth and lay up treasures in heaven because your heart will be where your treasure is. If you're laying up treasures on earth and you're trying to lay up treasures in heaven, then you have a divided heart. And when it comes to the Christian life, we can't straddle the fence. Either we're single-minded and living in the light, or we're simply filled with darkness. Verse 23, it says, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The most miserable Christian is the Christian that's not single-minded. And I'm telling you, you'll be miserable if you're not giving the Lord 100%. If you're not living the life, the Christian life, and living it to the fullest for the Lord, then as a Christian, you got to understand, you're going to be a miserable person. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. He said, look, you can't live for yourself and lay up treasures on earth and in heaven. He said, you can't serve God and mammon. You cannot fill yourself up with light and darkness. You cannot serve God and mammon. Before we got saved, we had no light. The Bible says that we were in darkness. We walked in darkness. But once we got saved, the light of the glorious gospel entered into our soul. And thank God we could see things clearly. But right here's the thing. Now that we're saved, now that we've had this light in us, and Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. And he says, you can't hide that light. How does that light get hid? Is when we're not single-minded and we don't have our eyes not single for the Lord, that's when we start hiding our light. And we need to be careful, because we can choose to cut the light off. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. That's not possible. That's not what Jesus is speaking of. But we can choose to cut the light off. The amount of light that we receive, we can choose to cut that light off. A lot of people say, well, why do I need to go to Sunday school? Well, there's light there. And if you're not providentially hindered, why wouldn't you want to be where light is being given? You got to ask yourself this question. Because if your eye be single, then it'll be full of light. Wherever there is light, that's where you're going to want to be. And if it's available and you're not providentially hindered, you should be there. But we better be careful what excuses we're offering to people. We're offering to the Lord for not wanting that light. They say, well, I don't need that. I'll be just fine. I'm making it just fine. But right here's the problem. You're cutting off the light that God's given. Your eye's not single. And matter of fact, if you're not taking in light, then what is remaining is darkness. And that's why he says, and how great is that darkness? I mean, it's going to be even worse. I think about people that say, I don't need to be faithful to church. Why do I need to go to church every time the doors are open? Why do I need to go to, you know, three to thrive, like they say? Hey, once a week's good enough for me. Well, you walk in the amount of light you want to walk in. You choose if you want to walk full of light, or you want to walk in partial light, or if you want to walk in almost darkness. That's the choice that we make. Oh, you say, well, I can listen online. Well, yeah, you can. But right here's the thing. God is not going to move in your life because you've not made yourself available to Him. Jesus chose to meet with us at church. He never chose to meet with us in our living room with our pajamas on while we're popping popcorn and the microwave's going off and other noises are going off in the background and while we got our phone up surfing the web while we're trying to take in the message. Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Jesus chose the meeting place. He chose for light to be shown in the church. Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Another thing that takes place when we're not here, when we're not present at church, then we miss out on exhorting one another. Because that's another reason why we come. We come to worship, we come to serve, we come to get the light, we came to meet with Jesus, for Jesus to meet with us and speak to our hearts. We make ourselves available to answer the call. But right here's the thing, when we don't come, we miss out on exhorting one another. And right here is the danger of that. You're cutting off the light for that person. That one person that had you been here, you would have exhorted. That one person that you would have encouraged. That one person that would have took some hope in seeing you here. That person's not getting that exhortation. Therefore, his light is being diminished because of you. And that important, you see the importance of being in church. Matthew 6:25 says, therefore, I say unto you, therefore. Jesus says, now that we have this settled, this point, we brought up this one, now that I have your attention. He's telling the disciples, let's get to the heart of the teaching here. Let's get to the heart of the matter. It says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? What life? He says the life. Is not the life more than meat? What life is he talking about? This life that he's questioning here and bringing into question and referencing, it's a life that we have in Christ. It's that Christian life. He's not talking about the physical, the spiritual life that we have in him. Is it not more than meat? Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What body is he talking about here in verse 25? It's the body that we use to serve Christ. And is it not more than raiment? Romans 12:1 says this. This is what our body's to be done with. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If we're living for Christ, if our life is not our own, if our eyes single, if the light's shining in, if we're laying up treasures in heaven, then we're not going to have a problem with what Jesus is teaching us in verse 25. We won't have a problem when Jesus says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. The answer to the question in verse 25 will make perfect sense to that person that's living for Christ, that realize that his life's not his own, his eyes single, he's taken in the light of God's Word. And that question, is not the life more than meat and body than the raiment? Isn't it much more than that? Jesus is not asking the question in order for it to be answered. But he's trying to put things in perspective for us. But right here's the question, do we agree with Jesus? Do you agree with Jesus right here? Because if I struggle with the question and I struggle with the answer that Jesus has already given, then the issue's not with Jesus, the issue's with me. My eye's not single. My reason for living doesn't match up with what God's purpose and God's plan and God's reason for me to live is. Look at verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And here's the question. Are ye not much better than they? At mealtimes here lately at our house, we've been watching this mom and dad bird build a nest. It must be time for some eggs to be laid, and these little birds are going to hatch one day. And it's interesting to see how the Lord takes care of these little birds. Everything that they're finding to build this nest with is supplied to them by God. They don't have to go work for it. They don't have to pay for it. They don't have to go to some store and put cash down to get this or that. No, that they're finding everything that they need to build that little home, that little nest for these future little birds. God is providing that for them. Little twigs and leaves and little things they're using there, and the ability that they have even to build that little nest. God gave that to them. The provisions for the nest, and when the babies hatch, that little mama bird is going to go out and she's going to go get food for her babies. Again, who's going to provide for those little ones? It's the Lord. You know, not one time have any of us at the table while we're watching these little birds build and do these things and be busy about doing what they're doing, not one of us have ever wondered how those birds are going to make it. We see it. Jesus says, look at the birds, consider the lilies. He said, look at how God takes care of them. Are you not much better than they? Are you not more than they? God feeds them. And I realize there's a lot of tree huggers out there and they spend a lot of time worrying about the little fellows. They're the little birds. But here's the truth of the matter. You can sit there and worry and fret and fear, or you can just realize that God is the one that feeds them. God's going to take care of them. And if God, my Heavenly Father, can feed the birds, then surely He can take care of me. Why is that? Are ye not much better than they? You know, Jesus did not die for the birds. He died for us, for you and me. God gave His Son to die on an old rugged cross, for whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like the old hymn that goes like this. I am so happy today and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, whosoever will may come with Him to stay. The chorus goes like this. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. All my hopes have been raised, oh His name be praised. His glory has filled my soul, I've been lifted up and from sin set free. His blood has made me whole. Oh, what wonderful love, oh, what grace divine that Jesus should die for me. I was lost in sin, for the world I pine, but now I am set free. Whosoever surely meaneth me. Oh, God went to great lengths to save you. He spared no expense to redeem us. He bought us. He loved us. He gave Himself for us. Oh, how could we worry? How could we doubt? How could we even be afraid when we know that Jesus loves me? Here Jesus is getting to the heart of the teaching, the heart of the matter. And He's teaching on the importance of living the Christian life and what's really important in that life, and that's seeking Him first. He's telling the disciples, you need to be single-minded. He's telling them that you need to be investing in eternity. Jesus is telling the disciples to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then He says, this is what God's going to do. And all these things shall be added unto you. All these things that you could spend your time worrying about and doubting about and being fear of. He said, look, if you'll just be single-minded, if you'll have a single eye, be filled with the light of God and live for Him, live the Christian life, then just know this. If you'll seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He said, all these things, all these other things that can, that certainly preoccupies us way too much in this life, He said, shall be added unto you. Jesus is saying, don't miss it. There's only one thing that matters once you're saved, and that's living for Jesus. God is going to take care of you. He said, consider the lilies. Consider the birds. Consider how God takes care of them. And then He says, are ye not much better than they? Jesus is calling our heart here and our attention to what's really important. He's asking all these questions to draw us to the conclusion of the whole matter. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 says this. Let us consider the conclusion of the whole matter. Right here is what it's all about, folks. This is it. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work unto judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let me ask you this. Are you investing in the Lord's work? Are you involved in the Lord's work? Is your eye single? Are you single-minded? Are you being filled with light, or do you allow darkness? You've cut the light off somewhere and you're allowing darkness into your life. And you know what happens is we get used to that darkness and we think we're all right. We think we're okay because we got used to it. Once you get used to it, you continue to operate. Well, I'm still, and then before you know it, it gets darker and darker and darker. And before you know it, we don't even know it. Are you laying up treasures in heaven? Or are you laying up treasures on earth? In light of eternity, Jesus was not going to be impressed with how many toys we had. He's not going to be impressed in what our bowling score was or our golf score was last week there. He's not going to be impressed with that. But He will talk to us one day about how we lived the life and how we presented our bodies a living sacrifice unto Him. He is going to talk to us about that. Hey, God's going to take care of us if we'll simply trust and obey. There's no use to worry. There's no use to fret, be afraid. He said, look, in days of uncertainty, in days of uncertain times, and we're living in those days, He said, consider the lilies, consider the birds, consider God and how He takes care of us. He said, just seek Him first. There is a better day coming. Are you investing in that day? You know, we've all heard terms like this, you know, when the market starts to fall and starts going down like it's been doing here this week and the past 2 days there on Thursday and Friday and Monday even there. I didn't check it today and see what was going on. But, you know, they always say, oh, it'll bounce back. The market will bounce back. Well, look, that's all speculation. We don't know that. There's so much uncertainty there. There's no guarantee that it will. But I have a better hope than that. You know what that hope is? Jesus is coming again. And that's no speculation. That's a promise. That's a promise that we have from God. But right here's the question. Will He find you investing in heaven? Or will He find you investing or laying up treasures on earth? Because one of these days we're going to be pulled out of here. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you trust Him? It'll show in what you're investing in.